The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 28, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 13th, 2008, in Nausori, Fiji.
So, this afternoon, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mang dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahatse vangdvaram mahurvi mukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamodvarang yoshitam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, pious acting is very important, actually. That is one qualification for devotional service. Prabhupada mentions, to those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. That means in our dealings amongst devotees, we should avoid duplicity. If we say one thing and do something else, that is called duplicity, deceitfulness. We should be very honest and straightforward in all of our dealings amongst Vaishnavas. Prabhupada emphasized this point in a lecture he gave in Los Angeles to avoid duplicity in dealing with devotees. Because if we have duplicitous dealings, we say one thing and do another thing, then we will not be able to transcend, as Prabhupada says here, the duality of desire and hate. We remain on the material platform. We cannot come to the transcendental platform if we have deceitful dealings amongst the devotees. We might be successful in our deceitful dealings, but we won't become Krishna conscious. So is it worth it? You see? Is it worth it? Not worth it. We should always think, speak, and act in such a way that we can come to the transcendental platform and realize Krishna. You see? Even if I get my desire fulfilled to receive, you know, make some arrangement in this world, it's only temporary anyway. I knew when I had one devotee, I knew a godbrother. He had a desire to be a GBC. He wanted to move up the corporate ladder, you see. And he did. He very intelligently and cleverly, using all kinds of deceitful duplicity, he maneuvered his way up and became a GBC man. And what happened after that? He blooped. He left the movement. He got his desire to be a big, powerful GBC man, you see. Because, using deceitful, duplicitous tactics. Because he was not Krishna conscious, the whole thing was useless. So it's better to be an honest street sweeper than a deceitful, big, big positioned person, actually. Because in that way you can get Krishna. You can get Krishna. And if you get Krishna, then you're not lacking in anything. What does Krishna say? Ananyas chintayantomang yejana paryupasite tesham nichibhyuktanam yogachemam yaham yaham saham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So do you want Krishna? Or do you want some position within this world? Your choice. You see. Even within ISKCON we have various positions. Temple president, sannyasi, guru, you know, GBC. Are you most interested in having some position or some title? Or do you want Krishna? You see, you make your choice. And I can tell you, if you're after a position, you may get it. But you won't get Krishna. So the thing to do is simply strive for pure devotional service. That's the thing to do. Strive for pure devotional service. And then, even the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things shall be added unto you. Christ also said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So if you really want to know how to be successful as a preacher, just become very, very meek and humble. Don't be into politics. Just be very, very meek and humble. And always try to push forward Prabhupada's movement by all of your words, your thoughts, and your deeds. And if you do that, Prabhupada will give you special... I can guarantee you, Prabhupada will give you special mercy if you'll do that. Special mercy from Prabhupada. Nothing can hold back that person who has the special blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And that opportunity is available to each and every one of us. How much are we willing to surrender to doing exactly what Prabhupada says in his books? How much are we willing to surrender to them? Having full faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. To that extent, we will be successful in being absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in being empowered to distribute it to others. There's a nice word here. Two words. Dridha, vrita, with determination. This is the most important thing for a devotee. He has to be very, very determined. I think everyone knows the story of the little sparrow. You all know the little sparrow, you see. Everyone know. Anyone did not know the story of the little sparrow? Do you know the story of the little sparrow? You don't. Okay. We'll tell it then, through you. There was one time a little sparrow. And she had some eggs. You know, sparrows lay eggs. So she laid some sparrow eggs. And you know, mothers are very attached to their babies, so she was very attached to her eggs. But then the nasty ocean thought he would have some fun. And he stole the sparrow's eggs and wouldn't give them back. Being very cruel to that poor little bird, you see. He was so attached to her babies, you see. The little sparrow became very determined. I will dry up this ocean and get my eggs back. How much water can a sparrow hold in her little beak? Just a few drops, right? Not much. Anyway, she would go down to the ocean. She would take some water in her beak. She would run back to the dry land, deposit that water on the land, and go back down for a few more drops. In this way, she was determined, I will dry up the ocean. And the ocean was still so cruel, he wouldn't give the eggs back. So cruel he was, you see. Everybody was laughing. Just see that stupid little bird. She'll never get her eggs back. She'll die of exhaustion. She'll never get it. She can't dry up the ocean. It's not possible. Who is the king of the birds? Garuda, you see. He has great mystic power. He is the carrier of Vishnu. So when Garuda heard how they were laughing at his little sister, you can imagine what he felt like. You can just imagine the rage burning in the heart of Garuda. They are laughing at my little sister. Her eggs have been stolen by the ocean, that rascal ocean. Garuda came swooping in great anger. And he went to the bank of the ocean. He ordered the ocean, you better return those eggs right now or I will destroy you. So the ocean in great fear brought the eggs back and handed them over, you see. So we have to become determined like that little sparrow, you see, to become Krishna conscious. And if we do so, the great acharyas will bless us with their mercy to help us. Krishna himself will bless us with his mercy to help us. If we become determined like that little sparrow, you see. So this word, dridha vritta, as described in this verse, is very, very important. We have to always remember the little sparrow that Prabhupada has told us about and always be very, very, very determined that I don't care what opposition there may be, I am going to become completely surrendered to Lord Sri Krishna. I don't care if my wife can't stand it. I don't care if my kids can't stand it. I don't care if my parents can't stand it, my neighbors, my boss, my dog. I don't care who doesn't like it. I am determined to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's it. If we have that kind of staunch determination, then nothing can stop us. And Krishna will personally come and deliver us from this material existence. So this is why we should engage ourselves in Krishna's service with great determination. This is why we should do that, because we get the special blessings of Krishna. Isn't that what Krishna says? Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva vajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much do you want to surrender to Krishna? 50%? Would you like 100%?
Yeah.
100%?
10 out of 16.
Hmm?
He said 10 out of 16.
10 out of 16, but he's already agreed to do 16 now. He just agreed. He would increase it. A few minutes ago he agreed. He had promised me in front of the deity, in front of Prabhupada, in front of all the Vaishnavas. Now he has to keep his word. He has promised me he will do 16, you see. So how much do you want to be surrendered to Krishna? 100%? And you? 100%? What about the ladies? Do you want to be 100% surrendered to Krishna? Or 50%? Hmm? 100.
Really?
How many rounds do you chant every day? What did she say? All right, now you have to increase. You go to 8 now, okay? Yeah, that way you can gradually come 100%. You'll agree to go to 8? Okay, very good. Yeah. So in this way, everyone has to come to the point of being completely surrendered to Krishna. You see, Krishna appears in the form of the spiritual master, you see. He is Krishna's representative. And he watches the disciple to make sure the disciple is 100% engaged. That's his duty. That is not a lording it over or exploitation. Sometimes people think, well, Guru, he just lives high on the hog, you know. He flies around, you know. People feed him, they fan him, they put his shoes on for him. He's just some sense gratifier. But sometimes I think that's Guru. But actually the reality is the spiritual master going through hell, traveling, constantly traveling and living out of a suitcase, having to deal with bodily sickness, you know, so many different environments. The spiritual master is actually going through hell for the sake of serving the students, the disciples, the people that he's preaching to help them become inspired and enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And that's the reality. He's doing great austerities, actually. Constantly traveling and preaching all over the world. It's not an easy thing to live, you know, 6 months out of a suitcase. Constantly traveling here, traveling there. Getting sick, having a hard time recovering, etc. It's not an easy thing. That is the spiritual master's love. That is his compassion. There's a sweetness in the austerity because Krishna is pleased by them. So therefore, he feels he's being rewarded for them. So we should never misunderstand spiritual master. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Medicine, especially if not used properly, has its side effects. Krishna consciousness is cure for us. Does Krishna consciousness...
It's the cure?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Does Krishna consciousness have any side effects?
Yes, it has many wonderful side effects. One, actually, it's very wonderful. Just like, what is that verse? Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagad bhaviti parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Now in Australia they are crying. It is the biggest drought in the history of Australia. They're worried how the country will go on. All the agricultural fields are turning into parched dust. But if you become Krishna conscious, then the rains come. The rain is the whole principle of economic development. So that is an automatic side benefit of Krishna consciousness. The rain comes in the proper balance. You see, not too much, not too little. So there are many wonderful side effects. If people become Krishna conscious, the whole world atmosphere will become much more peaceful and serene. Many wonderful side effects.
When we say side effects, usually it's meant that medicine cures.
Some bad effects.
Bad effects, yeah.
Well, there's no bad side effects. There's only good side effects. It's like somebody didn't want to lose weight. And they become Krishna conscious just by taking prasadam. They become so happy they don't have to overeat anymore. You see? Of course, some people are so enlivened by prasadam, they become fat. But actually, prasadam is so enlivening that you can just be satisfied with what you need to keep body and soul together. Completely enlivened with it. The non-devotee who's frustrated, they eat, try to get some, no matter how much they eat, they're never satisfied, you see. But a devotee, he can just take what is necessary and be completely satisfied. That's another side effect of Krishna consciousness. You become healthy, you see, naturally healthy. Questions more? Yeah.
This verse says finish off your sinful activities before you can come to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Well, how would you relate that to Jagai and Madai?
Yeah. They had to agree to give up their sinful activities to be accepted. You know that? They weren't allowed to continue with their activities. And they had to give them up. And they agreed to do them. That we will not engage in these activities anymore. We will give up this and chant Harinam. They agreed to them, and therefore they were accepted. They weren't allowed to continue sinning. Therefore, we glorify their names. Two big Gundas, Mafia. They were the leaders of the Mayapur Mafia. Very deceitful, lusty, greedy, rapists, murderers. They were the most degraded fellows you could ever imagine. But now we glorify their names in bhajan. In sacred bhajan, we sing their holy names, Jagai Madai. Because they surrendered, they gave up their sinful life and became devotees of the Lord. Yeah, they had to give up their sinful life. Otherwise, they could not be accepted.
You also mentioned about this duplicity.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be duplicity. No.
That's right.
How about diplomacy?
Sometimes diplomacy is required. If diplomacy is necessary, then you can do. But if one is using deceitful tactics to deal unfairly, then that is bad. Just like, for example, one time I knew one man, he ran a travel business, and he was a Christian from India. So I went to his store and I brought him some prasadam. So he immediately said, "Oh, is this prasadam?" I said, "No." He said, "Okay." He took it. So that was called diplomacy, you see. It was not for exploiting him, it was for serving him. So for service, you can do so many things. Even you can lie to someone for service. But if you're doing it to deal with them unfairly and exploit them, then it's very bad reactions for doing them. You see? I did it simply out of love, so he could take prasadam. But if you exploit someone, you deal with them unfairly and you do it through deceitful tactics, then you get heavy reaction for them. It will hurt one spiritually for doing that. That's a fact. Krishna will not tolerate this Vaishnava Puran. He will not tolerate such a thing. That person will be his reaction for doing that. So, diplomacy for service. Rules and regulations can be broken for service. You know that story? I think his name was Govinda Das, Lord Chaitanya's servant. Every day, Lord Chaitanya, he would massage Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So, Lord Chaitanya had fallen asleep in the doorway. And Govinda, he crossed over the body. He should never cross over the body of a Vaishnava, you see. That is a violation of etiquette. That is a very bad thing. You never step over a Vaishnava's body. But for massaging the Lord, he broke the rule, you see. To enter the room to give Lord Chaitanya his massage, he crossed over Lord Chaitanya's body. And then it came time for prasad. But he wouldn't go because he didn't want to cross over Lord Chaitanya's body for his own sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya woke up. He said, Govinda, why you've not taken prasad? He said, my Lord, I cannot cross over your body. He said, but you crossed over my body to get in. Why you can't cross over to get out? He said, because that was for service. You see. So for service, if you're actually sincerely serving, then the rules can be broken. But for one's own, you know, sense gratification, subtle or gross, if one does, then it's operand. Well, there's a reaction for that. So one has to be very careful. Always be in the mood of service. And then you're protected. Whatever you may have to do to get your service done. Of course, as far as possible, you should always be very straightforward. If we take duplicity as some kind of sense enjoyment, you see, then it's great offense. Prabhupada gives the example, the parent tells the child, you know, take this candy. It's actually bitter medicine. The parent was duplicitous, but it was for the purpose of helping the child. That this is some nice candy, you take this, isn't it? Any other questions? Is everyone satisfied now? Everyone, yes. Yes. When prasadam is being served, how do you know when you've had enough to eat? You can feel it in your belly, can you? So in the same way, if you are actually developing love for Krishna, and you're becoming more and more aware of how Krishna is manifested everywhere, in every sight, in every sound, within everything, and everything within Him, and you're becoming more and more detached from all different types of sense gratification, then you can know you're advancing. If when you see a beautiful young woman, instead of thinking, wow, I could have sex with her, you think, oh, how can she become a devotee and bow down to Krishna? You see. You can see when your mind's becoming pure and it's not thinking dirty thoughts anymore. It's very clear. Then you know you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. So it's just like when you eat, you know you're getting full. So in the same way, you will know when you're advancing, when you actually feel attracted to the holy name, where you feel like you go on chanting 24 hours a day. How many rounds do you chant? 16? Very good. You're initiated then. Huh? Very good. The sincere soul who is trying to advance in Krishna consciousness can actually see when the material desires are going away and when he's becoming more and more attracted to Krishna. Then you know you're advancing. Another question? Complain?
He wants to transfer to Maharaj. He wanted a translator, but I told him it's too late now.
So ah. Hindi? Hindi bolo or Gujarati bolo?
Hindi.
Hindi. Somebody can sit by him and whisper, and someone sit by him right now. Give the man some mercy. Who can translate? Sit by him and give him the translation. If he can even hear one line, his life will be changed. Please be kind upon him. Sit right by his ear so you can tell him in the ear, you see. Any other questions? So it's called running translation. What you do, don't talk with him. No, you have to give him. If he's going to be like this, forget it. But the way it's done, and it's like in many countries, they have one section. When we give a class in, for example, in Tallinn, we have one. The English-speaking people come forward in the temple room. The Estonian ones in one corner, and the Russian in the other. And there'll be somebody who gives a running translation while I'm speaking. They'll be translating it at the same time. They're very good at translating. So that's the way to do it. And I will speak, but I don't know if he's expert enough to do that. But that's how it's done. It happens in many temples. They have a running translation going on simultaneously with the lecture. The translators are so expert, they can hear, keep hearing what's being said, and at the same time be translating it. I'm amazed how they can do it, but they're able to do it. Very intelligent. Devotees are able to do that. They can hear and translate simultaneously. But he's more interested in discussing, it looks like, than in hearing. So, any other question? Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, have you read all the books of Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, of course. Yeah, all of Prabhupada's written books I've read. I've read all of his written books. Yeah.
Is there a ghost or a spirit? Ghost? Are there ghosts also?
Yes, there are ghosts. Yes, there are ghosts. There are many ghosts everywhere, especially in old houses. You have to be Krishna conscious, because sometimes at night they will come and try to enter your body. You ever had an experience, you're lying there asleep, and it's like something happened, you can't say a word, you can't say anything? You ever had that experience in the night? You want to say something, but you can't. Your voice, something's preventing you from speaking. It's a ghost trying to enter your body.
It happened to me.
Huh? So what you do is you just muster up your determination and go, Hare Krishna. Then they go running as fast as they can. They can't stand the holy name. They'll be gone in a second.
So if a person is a devotee, the ghost won't enter.
Sometimes the ghosts try, and they think maybe the ghosts are pretty aggressive. They even try sometimes devotees. But devotee is very powerful. He can repel the ghosts very easily by saying, Hare Krishna. Is it? Questions more? None of the ladies have any questions? Krishna says intelligence is a feminine quality. So, you have no questions? Nothing. Any other gents? Question? I use translators wherever I go, all over the world. No problem. You can tell him, I go to Russia, I go to Estonia, Bulgaria. I go all over the world. You take the help of translators. Right here, there should be a translator for this nice man. He should have a personal translator who's good. I don't think you're expert enough to do the job right. He should have should be a translator for this man. This man should have the opportunity to hear, just like everyone else. Why he should not have? Another way to do it is I give one line in English and then someone can translate for everyone's benefit. That's another way to do it. Yeah, we usually do that only if there's a big crowd. But other than that, we have personal translators. Some people say, why you don't learn Hindi? What's wrong with you? You don't learn Hindi. But I go to countries all over the world. If I had learned Hindi, Bulgarian, Russian, Estonian, Latvian, German, you know, how would I ever do it all, you know? English is such a commonly known language that everywhere in the world there's always a qualified translator. There's so many people who can translate from English to Hindi, no problem. Very qualified. So why intelligent management is to let somebody translate. Why I should, if I was in India, I would learn Hindi or Bengali or whatever. But I'm not. I'm traveling all over the world. In Fiji, they don't ask questions so much. I have to bring somebody in from Latvia to ask the questions, see? And Jairam also is good at asking questions. He's from transcendental world. But mostly, I see you all don't ask questions. You're not so philosophically inclined. You should try to become more learned and more interested in the philosophy, to ask questions and master this knowledge. It'll make you more effective preachers, yes.
Whenever I met a Christian devotee, he says only Jesus Christ is the way. To the
yes.
Way. Why do they say like that? Jesus Christ is the way to the God.
Yeah, we don't disagree with that. So why don't we say to them, well, if Jesus is the only way, then why don't you follow him? Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. So why are you eating meat? I'm a better Christian than you are. That's what I tell him. I'm a better Christian than you. I'm following Jesus better than you are. So if you say Jesus is the only way, I won't disagree with that. We say the same thing. Yasha prasadat bhagavat prasado yasha prasadat nagati kotopi. You know that slip. Only by the mercy of the spiritual master can you make advancement. Without his grace, no one can make any progress. We agree. It is only by the mercy of the spiritual master. Without his mercy, you're nowhere. So we agree that Jesus is the only way. He is Guru. So only by the mercy of Jesus or the mercy of Guru can one make advancement. We don't disagree if they say he's the only way. Guru is the only way. That's a fact. Jesus is Guru. You see. So we don't disagree on that point. Jesus, the Guru principle is the only way. And Jesus is certainly Guru. There's no doubt. It's confirmed by Prabhupada. But the problem is they don't follow Jesus. That's the problem. They are rascal. They say one thing, they do something else. Duplicitous persons. If you're actually a follower of Jesus, then why are you abusing your four-legged brothers and sisters, the animals, by slaughtering them and eating them? Do you think Jesus likes to see these creatures being abused like this? Do you think Jesus would take a knife and cut a cow's throat? Do you think Jesus would slaughter an animal? Ask them that. Why are you eating slaughtered animals? Do you think Jesus would slaughter an animal? He would never slaughter an animal. So why are you eating slaughtered animals? You're not following Jesus. I would challenge them very strongly. This is actual following of Lord Jesus Christ. He was Vaishnava. When Christ comes again, he'll become a Hare Krishna devotee. Second coming. He is Guru, yes, spiritual master, yes, Prabhupada confirmed. We accept Christ as our Guru, Prabhupada said that. It's a fact, Christ is our Guru. We are following him. We are the real Christians. They are bogus, that's all. I saw at the Tavayuni airport yesterday, one man, Christian man, he had his little Fijian skirt, and he had his tie, and said, "I love Jesus," all over his tie, you see. But he's a meat eater. And they think that they are going to the kingdom of God at the time of death because they accept Jesus. But in the kingdom of God, according to the Bible, the kingdom of God is a vegetarian place. According to the Bible, it's vegetarian place. It says, in the kingdom of God, the lion and the lamb will sit peacefully side by side. The lion will not eat the lamb in the spiritual world. It's stated in the Bible. So according to the Bible, the kingdom of God is a vegetarian place. So if somebody is addicted to eating meat, do you think they would be happy in the kingdom of God? Where do these Christians go? They go to, I don't know here, but in America, they all go to McDonald's after church on Sundays. Do you think they would, when they get to the kingdom of God, they'll say, "Oh, dear Lord, it's so nice to be here. And by the way, where's the nearest McDonald's?" Oh, and the Lord says, "I'm sorry, we don't have that chain here. We only have Govindas." Well, I guess I'll have to come back down to Suva to get my double cheeseburger, you see.
Was Jesus Christ a vegetarian?
Huh? Yes, of course. Of course he was a vegetarian. Prabhupada says he started his Christian movement as a protest against the slaughter of animals in the temple. That's why he started his movement. The Christian movement was started as a protest against animal slaughter in the temples. The Jewish priests were slaughtering the animals in the temples. Christ was completely opposed to this. He started a new religious movement to put a stop to this. It was only after several centuries that they went in and rewrote the Bible because they wanted the Roman Emperor Constantine to become a Christian, and he was addicted to meat eating. So they went in and they compromised for political reasons. They compromised their own vegetarian philosophy, which included reincarnation. Early Christians were vegetarians and they believed in reincarnation. They were Vaishnavas. But they changed their principles because they wanted to make Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire. They saw an opportunity. They had become polluted after several centuries. They didn't care about their principles. They just wanted politics, power, you see. So they rewrote the Christian scriptures. They took out reincarnation. They took out vegetarianism. They simply promoted this idea of meat eating. There's one doctrine, there's one gospel which was not doctored by these early Christians. It was discovered in a Tibetan monastery. I have put it on the internet. You can find it on the internet. It's called The Gospel of the Holy Twelve, and it clearly, Lord Jesus is promoting vegetarianism. You just go to www.turnonyoursoul.com/Jesus, lowercase. I've loaded the whole thing on the internet so you can read it. Called The Gospel of the Holy Twelve. It was discovered in a Tibetan monastery. It had escaped the hands of those Christians who wanted to change their own scripture. It wasn't adulterated or doctored by them. Christ clearly is a vegetarian and promoting vegetarianism. So these people are just simply bogus. They don't even know who is Jesus. They have their own invented version of Jesus. I guarantee you, when Christ comes again, they'll want to crucify him again. That's how good of Christians they are. They'll crucify him again. Because he'll tell them they're rascals, they're nonsense. They'll want to crucify him again. So don't be intimidated by these Christians. They're simply nonsense. They're simply full of hot air, that's all. Just like you have hot bread here in Fiji, you got hot air. The Christians are simply hot air, nothing else. They have no substance. No substance at all. They're simply bluffers and cheaters. So you should preach with great determination to defeat these rascals and establish Krishna Bhakti as the one religion of the world. Yeah, you must do. Preach very strongly. Establish Krishna Bhakti as the one religion on this planet. Yes. Any other questions? Is everyone satisfied now? Are you satisfied? He's happy? Very good. We want you to be happy. Sukham. Sukha. We want you to feel sukha. Okay, then we'll stop here. Raja Vidra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsan Das Adhikari Gurudev Ki Jai.